Blog Talk Radio.
Giblets. It's who else? It's me, Brian Rails, the one, the only, B-Train. And I've got a lot on my mind, folks. And, well, I don't need to do the stinking SmackDown Live intro simply because the first half of this show, I'm going to discuss with you why I believe SmackDown Live is better. Than Monday Night Raw. You see, because the match quality is better. The talent, they are all equaled in my opinion. I just believe SmackDown Live is the most underrated, underappreciated show that you will see ever. There's still a full crowd for SmackDown Live. There's an appreciation for them. Yeah, you bet your ass there is. There's an appreciation for how SmackDown Live presents things to fans. And it's not just, hey, watch our show, and we're going to give you a different flavor. And I believe that Monday Night Raw, they don't necessarily try too hard. Actually, sometimes they do. They're trying to convey a message on their show, on their brand, when it came to gauntlet match. And that's fine. They gave a prelude to what's going to happen in Elimination Chamber. SmackDown Live is trying to tell their story before Fastlane. So which brand is doing it better? Which one is making more sense? I'll tell you which one. Down Life. Hands down is the better roster than Monday Night Raw. Simply because they have a group of men and women that put on a show week in and week out. And they're not going to hesitate. They're not going to hesitate in taking a risk. Taking risk as in, like, OMG, you know, here's Dolph Ziggler in the very, you know, in the curtain jerk against Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. Actually, they were not the curtain jerks. Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens are like a well-oiled machine when it comes to amping up a moment. Trails coming between Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens. A lot of people feel that they're going to push Sami Zayn. But that's not the reason, folks, why I'm breaking things down in a general direction of why SmackDown Live is a superior roster. I mean, look, you got Charlotte Flair, you got Becky Lynch, you got Naomi, Carmella's the dark horse, if you will. But which brand says to you as to us fans that they're putting on a decent quality show? Which one? I mean, obviously, Monday Night Raw appears to have an edge in certain areas with the names that are, you know, on their talent roster. However, you know, okay, yeah, ratings will show you all you need to know in some instances, right? Wrong in some instances. Although SmackDown Live has below average ratings, is that because they don't have enough exposure? I don't know. Is it because SmackDown Live is on the lower half of the totem pole when it comes to pro wrestling. No one even, I remember when The Rock was on SmackDown Live. Well, you must have watched it back in the mid-90s. That's fine. I'm just saying. Why is SmackDown Live the better roster, comparatively speaking, to Monday Night Raw? Just a question. Is it because the talent is lackluster on Monday Night Raw? No. Is it because SmackDown Live can stick with a story and then also the build that they have made instead of tearing it down and, you know, rewriting it because of an injury? Oh, yeah. Raw is very injury prone. And is that in the wrestler's control? No. It's out of their control, so that's something that's a debate that anyone can have. Well, Randy's been injured. Why don't you talk about him? Look, guys, Bobby Roode, Charlotte Flair, Naomi, The Usos, The New Day, Dolph Ziggler, Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn. Because I can guarantee you that I can do the same for Raw, but I'm one of those people that if I watch a show, I'm captivated by it. It's 2 hours long. It's not 3 hours. There's one invariable difference. It is not a lengthy show. SmackDown Live has always been most underappreciated, underrated roster in WWE history, because if you take a good look at what SmackDown Live used to be, I mean, sure, they had Eddie Guerrero and Brock Lesnar and Kurt Angle and once upon a time The Miz. It must really eat Daniel Bryan alive. Yeah, I know. You're going to mention the fact that it eats him alive, that The Miz is taking his moves. You know, Mark and I had a conversation. I'm not going to go that route. But what I am going to say is, you won't change fans' opinions. You won't change how they feel about a certain show. And it's just got a good feel. It's got a good vibe to it. Monday Night Raw is a clusterfuck sometimes. It's very hard to keep up and watch what you're watching. I mean, all they owe us is a good show. Then we got a decent portion of that with Seth Rollins, you know, giving his 100% against everybody that was, you know, a participant in the Elimination Chamber. Could he win this Sunday? I don't know. But back to what I'm saying is, SmackDown Live really hasn't gained a moniker with certain fans because certain fans aren't used to guys like Shinsuke Nakamura or Jinder Mahal, or, for that matter, they're not used to people, period, that can actually put on a decent show and give it decent quality. You can have all the quantity in the world on Monday Night Raw, but if you don't have quality shows that make sense, that are not just fairly decent, but decent, then here's what I'm going to tell you all. If you tune your TV onto a good show, if you tune into like Entertainment Tonight or TMZ, whatever floats your fancy, do you think that Entertainment Tonight has better quality stories than, I don't know, something like Inside Edition or all those tabloid shows like TMZ? What's the difference? TMZ basically catches celebrities in their weakest or their most vulnerable or funny points. ET basically has uplifting stories or divorces or all the juicy gossip going on or what celebrities had to say on Twitter or whatever. Same thing with SmackDown Live and Monday Night Raw. What's more appealing? A 20-minute promo versus a 20-minute match? In this case, an hour, 54 minutes, and 32 seconds. I don't know the exact time of that match. But it wasn't so much the presentation in some aspects, but it was the length. The length of the match. I appreciate and applaud the fact that they had a lengthy match on Monday Night Raw. But however, SmackDown Live works for people who like to get to the point. You know, they like to get to the nitty-gritty. For example, if your thing is watching squash matches, they've got those on SmackDown Live. And I recall Jerry Lynn saying at his seminar, you have to have a variety. You can't just, here, this is what's going to happen. You know, and we're going to present this. We're going to present our show to the fans as if we were in the room in Men in Black's movie and Men in Black movie, and somebody, Tommy Lee Jones, pulls out the neuralizer and makes the person forget what he or she just did, said, or. If you want to improve the fucking quality of the show, shorten it. Make it 2 hours, because three, holy hell, dude, that's squeezing a lot. That's like not even WrestleMania length. But it really, at this point, I don't know what else to tell you other than SmackDown Live is got more quality over quantity. That's one of the main reasons why I watch the show. Who do I watch and who do I like watching? Okay, that's a easy question. I love KO and Sami Zayn. I watch their stuff in PWG. Not just PWG, but Ring of Honor and Pro, you know, there's a lot of stuff that centers around them being entertaining. And for those of you who say, well, Raw has Matt Hardy and this, that, the other. Well, you know, Matt Hardy was also in TNA, so what do you want me to do? All I'm telling you is there are those of us who don't hesitate to tell other fans who believe in one-sidedness. And that is, Monday Night Raw is better because it's easier to follow. I don't know what's so easy to follow when you've got so much shit going on. Titus Worldwide, and you've got feud going on between Finn Balor and Jason Jordan at one point. Now you got Finn Balor feuding with The Miz. I mean, whoever they place you, that's fine. That's 100% fine because it's the wrestling business. But to be honest with you guys, what they did to dumb it down and simplify it, I'm 100% behind it because Monday Night Raw they did need it pretty badly. I just don't understand, though, certain things work on Monday Night Raw. Like, 1 week, Bray Wyatt will be feuding with Finn Balor, then the next week he's feuding with Goldust, and the next week he's... It's all over the place. It's like, it's very hard to follow. Whereas SmackDown Live, they get right to the point. And they give you hints, they give you very helpful hints as to where you end up, or where you're going to end up with this scenario versus, you know, okay, this is how this is. It's presentation also that's a main factor as to why SmackDown Live is a better show than Monday Night Raw. They didn't have all this complication back during the Attitude Era or even the Rock and Roll Era before SmackDown Live was a thing. And it's just like, okay, well, here's what I've said is that there is a fine line between confusing and trying to present it as if you were making it a made-for-TV movie series. You know, I can follow The Flash and I can follow The Big Bang Theory quite easily. SmackDown Live is the same thing. I can follow their stories and their builds easier than I can follow Monday Night Raw's. Monday Night Raw is one big clusterfuck. Because it wasn't so much a clusterfuck on Monday because they explained, okay, here's a prelude to Elimination Chamber. Make of it what you will. Well, you know what I thought as a fan sitting and watching Monday Night Raw? Okay, for the first hour and 54 minutes, oh, Chiza. I haven't seen an Iron Man match in forever, but this gauntlet match is starting to fill the void. Versus right into action, you see the New Day versus Chad Gable, Shelton Benjamin. You see right out of the gate, you see a brief preview of how, okay, maybe I crossed up my matches, but you see Shane McMahon come out and explain tonight's match will be Dolph Ziggler versus Kevin Owens. That match told a fucking story. Seth Rollins told a story as well. But if you want to talk about first matches of the night, I can sit here and break down what I thought, and then someone will say, you're just a bumbling, babbling fool. Whereas, what's the real reasoning why you believe SmackDown Live is better than Monday Night Raw? I could just make an easier joke assumption to say, well, one's blue, and that's my favorite color, and red kind of meshes with everything, but it still sucks. See how pointless that was? Sometimes I feel that when Monday Night Raw is trying to run things, I feel like they run it into the ground. As far as concepts go, like, okay, Bray Wyatt's supposed to be the eater of worlds. And he's supposed to be this really dark, mysterious gimmick, and yet it's gone nowhere. It's just, okay, at one point in time, you know, he had a family, the Wyatt family. And that was probably one of the coolest concepts you ever could give a character. Then they took that away for some fucking unbeknownst reason, and you're trying to follow not just Bray Wyatt, but you've got the Miztourage, you've got the defunct version of the Shield. Now Jason Jordan's injured, and all this. Now Ambrose is injured. So are injuries part of the problem? Yes. Is there ways that you can control injuries better? Sure, but I mean, that's out of the question. That's not even a thing that I'm worried about. What I'm worried about is, can you entertain not just one fan, but can you entertain many? And sometimes the WWE, you know, they're pretty good about entertaining the masses. I mean, hell, guys, I've seen firsthand as a longtime fan how this shit works. Does that make me the expert? No. But it does make me an observer. And trust me, as an observer, I will tell you, if you want mainframe reasons as to why SmackDown Live can easily outshine Monday Night Raw, you have less promos and more action. Also, plenty of things that could be worse. Like, watching Monday Night Raw sometimes is like the Fergie's rendition of the national anthem. If you try to jazz it up a little too much, the fans, depending on who they are, depending on what side of the wrestling genre they came from, they ain't going to be satisfied with you, okay? It's more or less, holy cripe. There's just, how do you explain the train wreck that sometimes is Monday Night Raw? I give you a hint. That gauntlet match, probably one of the absolute worst. I'll let you guys decide, but this is what I think of Monday Night Raw every other week. You know why? because SmackDown Live can put on a decent quality show. Every once in a while, Monday Night Raw has a good show. Whenever you let Braun Strowman loose and you let him basically destroy the set and basically let him go bonkers, some people think that's not realistic. Is wrestling supposed to be intended to be realistic to certain fans, to give a certain feel? Yeah, to the so-called purists. But overall quality of a show, that's what I'm trying to bring home, is SmackDown Live, despite many people arguing with me right now, why I do know it's because Raw has the better women, Raw has the better selected talent. Yes, of course, it's easy to have selected talent because, or selected or chosen talent, better talent, whatever phrase you want to use. Yes, they have Sasha Banks. Yes, they have Mickie James. Yes, they have Alexa Bliss, who carried the torch for SmackDown Live's women's division. There's certain things that people will understand and certain things that people will not just get past. And they're like, well, this is how I feel, and I think you're full of shit, blah, 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 blah. Well, in closing, about the whole SmackDown Live Monday Night Raw debate, it all's up to the fan which brand they choose, because their favorites are on one show. So that's why it's a very diverse debate. It's not like when you can tell a WWE fan, as I am, but I also know a little bit about, not a lot, but Progress Wrestling, Ring of Honor, Evolve, New Japan. The debates in those areas get kind of heated. So, all right, folks, it's that time where I get to spill my guts and tell you how I feel. So, here goes. Look in my eyes, what do you see? The cost of something I would be. I know your anger, I know your dreams. Okay, folks, so hear me out. I'm going to Monster Factory, and I just want to share with you certain tips about how you can get yourself there. One quick, easy way is through monsterfactory.org. Go to click on the Eventbrite section where it says Supercamp. Click on the link. Make yourself readily available, because let me tell you this. If you have Southwest as a card, or if you have Delta or whatever, use your points, because those points can be very, very helpful. I spent $5.60 at what cost? My points that I had racked up from buying WrestleMania stuff, like the tickets and the hotel and all that good jazz. I mean, there's so much for people like myself can tell you. There's tidbits. You can also save money. Invest in yourself. That's the biggest key advice that anybody could be given, right? You want to invest in yourself. I want to make Wrestle Radio known, but I don't want to overdo it. I just want to be there to learn and learn from who else, you know. I know that Danny Kaye is there, but also Bill DeMott. I know that some of the big names will be a part of the camp. That's why I want to read further into it when I have a chance. I've been at work lately, so I haven't really gotten the chance to sit down and actually read. So I'm going to say this right now. It's going to be a lot of fun. I'm going to land in Philly. I'm going to go to the Monster Factory site itself in Paulsboro, New Jersey. Like I said, there's ways you can get there. Hitch a ride with a friend. drive, however far it is. There's been people from around the world that have come to the world famous Monster Factory Super Camps. It's like one big giant seminar. That's basically what I think it is. And not only that, this is an opportunity for me to learn a lot learn a lot about professional wrestling. Will it be a one-way ticket to fame? I don't think so, man. I believe that if you think that, you're sadly mistaken. It's a good stepping stone. I wouldn't say stepping stone. I'd say it's a good learning experience. For me, because I'm a manager, I'm a pro wrestling manager. I've managed in almost 2 years. So I can fine-tune my promo skills. I can fine-tune a lot of things. A lot of people decided to comment on the post on Facebook that I had. I'm not going to give out my personal name, although I think you can probably find it through a page called WrestleRadio/ on Facebook.com. The thing about getting exposure, not just getting exposure, but being able to learn from a lot of great names that have experience with where they were once, where we are at, but we have more resources. So going to the Monster Factory, meaning, you know, could fine-tune my broadcast journalist skills. Like I said earlier, I would like to be an announcer. I would like to expand upon my horizons of being in the pro wrestling business. Yeah, I'm a bundle of nerves because I said 2 years ago I was going to go to Danny's camp, but I didn't have the resources that I have now. So it's a big deal because there comes a point in my life where I was like, hey, I'm going to do this Monster Factory thing and I'm going to see what it's like and what it's all about. Said before, there's probably people that have done this camp before. They know what it entails. They know exactly what it's going to be like because they've been there before. Well, let me tell you something. I'm just going to shut my mouth, learn. I know that's a rarity, right? You heard it first here on Off the Rails Uncensored. I'm going to shut my mouth. In that regard, because out of respect, I'm going to someone else's territory. I'm learning from different names who I'm somewhat familiar with because I saw Bill DeMott's name pop up on there. Kevin Kelly, who can give insight as to not just what the do's and don'ts are, but can give out learning, not just advice, but stuff you could actually use. So in other words, pointers about the biz. Ways that you can get there, if you want to know further, you can ask me on Wrestle Radio's Facebook. I will be gladly to answer it. I'm just making up vocabulary. I'll be gladly to answer poor grammar, that is. Poor choice of words. I will be flying in the morning. I'm not giving out that information right now, sir. If you like more information about the camp itself, you can visit the website, monsterfactory.org. I'm excited because I get to see somebody that I interviewed from Monster Factory 2 years ago. I know I say that as if it were a proud bragging moment, which it kind of is, because Danny Cage did come on the show 2 years ago. I'll be posting that episode probably before I leave. So for those of you interested enough to listen to that episode again and again and again and more, you are more than welcome. It's free to download on iTunes. I usually post episodes of Wrestle Radio fairly quickly after every episode. I haven't posted in quite some time, but you know what? That's not the point of this episode. The point of this episode was to talk about what I can expect when I go to Paulsboro. What can I get out of this camp? What can I learn from this camp? That remains to be seen. It remains to be heard because like I said, I have never been to one of these before. I am a bundle of nerves. I'm excited. I'm nervous. I hope I don't puke. Because, getting physical, not one of my strong points. And here's why. I work, and I'm not going to say where because I don't ever reveal that. I will give you a hint, though. I'm not even going to give you a hint. But I do know this. When I go to the Monster Factory, I can see some faces I've never seen before, and then I'm going to see some faces I probably have seen before. Then I'm probably going to see some people that I've never ever heard of in my life and should do some research just to be safe. Even if so, like I said, I don't want to be the guy to ask a dumb question. But at the same time, knowing me, my curiosity will pop that hand up at some point during the Q&A section and ask questions, because that means I have a general interest in the world of professional wrestling. Is it life-changing? Am I going to drop weight? Am I going to gain some muscle and become the next WWE champion? I don't know. Am I going to be signed to a contract in WWE the very next day just because I attend this camp? No. Like I told you guys, I'm mainly going there to expose WrestleRadio a little bit more so that people have a general idea that the podcast does exist. And not just that, it's to gain a sense of accomplishment. Like, hey, I went to the Monster Factory. I may not be the strongest. I may not be the tallest, biggest, baddest dude. I don't have to be a wrestler to go to this camp. And I know that wrestling entails a lot of physical sacrifice and a lot of mental sacrifice, too, because you're away from your family. You're away from your friends. You can't do certain things you used to do on the weekend. I mean, you still can, but wrestling now, folks, and the independence is on the weekend. Anyways, long story short, I can't wait to be a part of something that's so cool and so one of a kind. Simply because I feel the need to just unwind, man, and be myself. Because in the past, when I've, involved myself in pro wrestling, I really felt like put on a show. I had to put on a facade, if you will. That's not healthy. And this camp going to change my ways? I wouldn't say it'll change how I approach my show in certain regards. Now, if I have to change everything up because I've been given certain advice, I'll definitely take that into consideration. But it'll definitely won't, oh my God, he changed overnight kind of thing. I just want to get a feel for how Monster Factory is. I'm definitely going to take tons of pictures because it's an experience. It is definitely an experience. And what's cool is, I watch live feeds every day on my Facebook. I see stuff on Instagram. I see that on Twitter. I kind of know the history of Monster Factory, not the entire history. I do know that I have a friend of mine who was a graduate from there, Scott Vina. He was taught under Pretty Boy Larry Sharp. So I know that there's a rich history there. There's a lot of big names that came from Monster Factory, such as Virgil, Pretty Boy Larry Sharp, the Godfather, Million Dollar Man's manager, Virgil. There's just a ton of guys, ton of names that came from there that I want to see, like, how well I can, adapt to a new environment just for a day. So it'd be interesting, it'll be fun, it'll be something out of my comfort zone. I'm not usually this adventurous, folks. I really am not. And here's the thing. Normally, when Danny's camps would come up or opportunities to go to camp, I'd say, I don't know if I can make it this year. I don't know if I can do Monster Factory. I don't know if I'm ready for this. Don't know until you take the first leap. That's the main thing, is that anytime that I'm nervous about something, I end up doing completely just fine. And that's, it could be giving a speech. I've sung in front of 500 strangers on a cruise ship, and that was on Carnival Cruise. I will revel in that, because singing a Frank Sinatra song called My Way in front of complete strangers on a cruise ship, yeah, that was nerve-wracking. And now going to Monster Factory, holy hell, dude. What am I doing is what I'm thinking. Like, what did I just get myself into? But you know what? It's well worth it, because you can. I may not have this opportunity ever again. I may just be like a one and done. I don't think so, because I know I want to go back in July. Like I told you guys, I'm taking chances this year. I'm making sure that Wrestle Radio and Off the Rails and Censored gets a fair shake. And is this a publicity stunt just for myself? No. Like I said, getting exposure, making sure your show is the best at what it is trying to convey, and also getting exposure, letting people know, hey, I have a show Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and it comes on at this specific time. That's huge for me as a broadcast journalist, to get exposure into and to further my wrestling education, because there's a lot of perspectives that I'm not familiar with, and I want to learn as many as I can. And one of the biggest things that I pride myself on is learning something new each time from somebody different that has been in this business, that, had, you know, at one point in time was kind of in the same boat I was, but they had probably more desire, more will, more energy. So I just want to take a chance, man. I want to feel like, hey, I accomplished something, rather than just sitting on the sidelines and saying, I wish I could have done this, I wish I could have done that. There are those of us, man, that don't have access because of the time constraints and because of work. Well, let me tell you something. I'm a workaholic in certain regards when it comes to earning money, and also when it comes to just having an opportunity to do something worthwhile. And this camp, to me, is something worthwhile. I believe that there are reasons why you do something, why you get up in the morning and say, okay, I definitely want to go to this super camp. And there's reasons why I wanted to do this. One of the main reasons was because, you know, I want a second chance at wrestling. I want to go about doing this the right way instead of trying too hard. So on that note, I'm not going to end the show just yet, but I'm going to pause for 10 seconds of identification, folks, right here on Off the Rails Uncensored.
Bullet Club 4444.
Got 19 minutes left to discuss with you all exactly what I'm feeling about this camp. Am I sorrowful about anything about this camp? No. I'm excited. I'm nervous. I'm joyous, really. You know, is this game going to kick my ass? Probably. Is it going to be worth it, though? Yeah, you bet your ass it will be. Never want ending a show early because that's complete and utter bullshit. So here's what it is, folks. I'm going to a super camp in Paulsboro, New Jersey. Do I know anything about pro wrestling outside of being a manager or a referee? I was once upon a time a referee for a lucha company. They saw fit to hire me and give me moolah. That's funny. I did have some fun experiences with this group. It was back in Kansas City. I've never wrestled, you know, on a big scale wrestling match. I did get told I was a shitty referee at a camp. Is that something to brag about? No. I learned I'm really not cut out to be a referee in my attitude. My attitude was not the greatest back in the day when I first started. So is this going to be a culture shock for me? No. I guarantee you, this is going to be one of those camps that brings out the best of me and not the worst. What camp would, I mean, I've never heard anything bad about Monster Factory Super Camp. Although, you know, some people may or may not agree with Danny Cage will tell you, oh, this is how Monster Factory is. You know, I tried it. It wasn't for me. I'm not going to be a student there. I just want to learn, and I want to get the most that I can out of this super camp. And not only that, the amount of time that it takes somebody to click on something, it really doesn't bother me. Because here's what I'm going to say. If you truly want to understand what it's like to be, you know, a pro wrestler or a manager, just document it for yourself. Do a documentary. Do a study on it. Be prepared. Keep learning. That's the main thing. Keep learning and give the fans a show. Period. Now, I've never ended the show this early before, but actually, I'm not going to. I intend 100% to go to this camp with an open mind. Pretty much, you know, one of those cats that likes to learn and keep learning, and I've got a thirst for it now, because before, if it were a camp like this, I'd be like, why do I need to go? I watch enough of I watch enough wrestling on TV. Ever since I got involved in pro wrestling, it's been more than that for me. It's, okay, what seminar can I attend that I can afford? What sacrifice will I make if I go to this super camp? How am I going to survive if I go? That's mainly been my mindset. So, I will, I'm definitely going to get to your questions later on, folks. My apologies, I've just got a lot on my mind. So, here's what I'm going to tell you. If you want to go your whole life, not even trying, not even doing anything, then go right ahead, because you never know and you'll always have regret. So going to this camp, I don't feel regret anymore. I don't feel guilty. I don't feel anything other than I'm going to learn. I'm going to sit down, keep my mouth shut. Well, do the best I can to participate. Even if I look terrible, I know I'm going to do my best. That's the main thing. And you can't really fault the guy for trying his best at something that I know I'm not athletically gifted. I was born to be a certain role in the world of wrestling. I was born to be a manager. I don't know if that's going to be my for sure role, but I will give you everything that I got. Excited, folks, about the camp, WrestleMania, SummerSlam. I mean, there's a whole lot of in-betweens going on through my brain right now. It's a lot to process. How am I going to get there? You know, like I said, my flight's arriving not late, but barely on time. I said, if you want my flight information, I'm not going to give it to you. That's very creepy. And when someone decides to take a leap and they're not very familiar with the process of doing that, I have a lot on my plate, just like you guys have a lot on your plate. And I know it's always a one-upmanship game nowadays. So here's what I'm going to tell you. You want to go to the camp, go to monsterfactory.org. Don't hesitate. Because if you do hesitate, that's on you. It's not on me. I've finally decided, you know, if I want to get noticed in this business in a positive light instead of just being known as the guy who rants at how bad one show is after the other, I don't want to be known as that guy. I want to be known as the guy, hey, he attended the Monster Factory Super Camp. I want to be known as the guy that has a future in not just WWE, but maybe in Ring of Honor, maybe someday in, you know, in the podcast where I'll be revered as a hero, to some of you, I'm already known as the heel. I don't really think I'm that bad. I mean, hey, we all have our struggles. Anyways, I would like to start off by saying this year, 2018, is going to be the year of change. It's going to be the year where I actually get stuff done instead of having, like I said, regret and guilt put in my head because I didn't have the necessary resources or tools in 2014 when I started full-time in this business. Now, granted, I've been not retired but removed from the business because I decided to take a step back instead of put myself out there. And you can tell when a locker room doesn't really – like you, or people who've heard of you. I've heard of this guy, blah, 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 blah. I honestly, guys, I'm not worried about that anymore. I'm worried about myself and where I'm going to end up and how I'm going to be and how do I get myself on the right tracks or right side of the tracks, pun intended. I've got Danny Cage's Monster Factory Super Camp, and you know, he even says it on the website. I'm available for seminars, and I'm available for this. And as one other wise man said, Brutal Bob Evans, Uncle Bob, in order to be successful in anything that you do, you must serve the people that you work for, and you must be a servant to those who you are trying to entertain or be, you know, work for. So if you're a good servant, if you make your efforts to go to seminars and camps and all this good jazz, it's going to help you in the long run learn a lot. It's going to help you in the long run become a better person in the world of wrestling, because in the world of wrestling, you always deal with certain go this way, go that way, go right here. You, myself, others, we've got the free choice to choose, man. And this camp is perfect. It's a perfect example of taking a leap, because taking a leap doesn't necessarily mean, okay, take one risk and then forget about the other times that you could better yourself in the world of wrestling. So, my thing is that if you know where you're going, if you know where you're headed in wrestling, there's always the chance that something could go right, because even if you work for remedial promotion, remedial meaning, or not remedial, so-so promotion, or promotion that's not well-known, there's a good chance that you might succeed if you're just content with where you are. But if you want to take a chance and go to a camp or a seminar, does that make you better than the next person because you took that one chance? Because you could still fail. I'm always that person that has, okay, well, if this works, then there's got to be a... There has to be a chain reaction. There has to be some negative, right? If you have one cloud of doubt in your mind, you're never going to succeed. To tell you the truth, from experience. Am I afraid of Danny Cage? Yes. Anyway, I mean, he commands respect. He's, you know, one of those cats that you don't want to cross, because I spoke with him in the interview 2 years ago. He was very direct, very straightforward. If anyone wants to take you seriously, he says, you know what? I took him up on his offer. It took me 2 years, but here I am. This is not a joke, and this is something that I want to do as a career. Pro wrestling is something that I take very seriously, because not just as a fan, not just because I report on shows or bag on certain people and aspects of the business, but it's because I want to make sure that there's something or someone that says, hey, remember that time when B-Train said this? That was pretty badass, or I didn't agree with it. This is what I thought. I want to be that guy that's just not well-known just for being an outspoken human being, but for someone that basically said how I felt and can back it up and can actually gain more listeners than, oh, he's just trying to hear himself talk. That's not me, I guarantee you. This camp is an opportunity, not just for me to say, well, I should have brought this person, I should have brought that person. I'm tired of promoting. I really am. Because certain people got the hint. Certain people went to Danny's camp, and I feel fucking bad because I didn't. But I can't look back now. I got to look forward. So, folks, on that note, I got to go eat. And also, if you don't believe in what I'm telling you, I got three choice words for you. Forget about it. A little sentiment, too. Toodles, bitches. Look in my eyes. What do you see? The cost of something I would be.